It's white. It's that new Oxidol white.
Yes, new Oxidol is white, and it washes clothes whiter than ever before. The cleanest wash you can get from any soap in the world. Oxidol's own Ma Perkins.
You're right. It's white. It's that new Oxidol white.
Starting today, see your clothes wash whiter than ever before, because now there's a new Oxidol. New white Oxidol, the whiter, whiter soap for a whiter, whiter wash. The whitest wash in Oxidol history. You have to see it to believe it, how much whiter this new white Oxidol washes all your clothes. So next wash day, see for yourself.
You're right. It's white. It's that new Oxidol white.
Yes, new white Oxidol gives you the cleanest wash it's possible to get from any soap in the world. The whitest Oxidol wash you've ever had. Now you can wash your clothes any day, dry them anywhere, even inside, and your wash will always be sparkling white. What's more, it'll keep this new whiteness for the life of your clothes as long as you use new white Oxidol. And new white Oxidol is truly safe, too. Washable colors actually come out brighter, from work shirts and overalls to your prettiest cotton prints and blouses. Once you try this new white wash day soap, you'll never be satisfied with any other suds that fails to give you the white, bright wash you get with new white Oxidol. So get some. Your dealer has it, the greatest Oxidol Procter & Gamble ever offered. Next wash day, be right. Get clothes white with new white Oxidol. The whiter, whiter soap for a whiter, whiter wash. And now for Ma Perkins. Well, the coroner's inquest into the death of Bradley Gorman, the demented husband of glamorous Ann Morrison, has just gotten underway, no more than about 30 seconds ago. Ma's there with Effie. Willie held some seats for them. He's serving as foreman of the jury. And some 10 minutes ago, Mr. Sinclair and Miss Morrison came in and were ushered to seats down in front of the town council chamber where the inquest is being held. Well, the deputy coroner in charge of the investigation is making his opening remarks now. Listen.
Now, this is no sideshow. This isn't even a trial. This is an inquest. That means an inquiry. That means an investigation. A man's been killed. We want the facts. We want to know who he was and how he died, etc. I'll ask you to remember that this is no trial. Please understand.
Shuffle.
No fancy lawyer.
Mando Goshen, I didn't know you were sitting behind me.
Well, I ain't been for long. I just got here. Wiggled my way into this seat.
Shh.
Well, you heard about the curiosity that killed a cat.
Well,
here I am after my good resolution. Morning, Eddie. Is Faye here with you, Mom?
No, she decided not to come after all, Shuffle.
Well, she's got more spunk than me. Just couldn't stay away. Joe's back there.
Joseph?
Shh. Yeah, I'll show you. Yeah, he's in the back row there, you see him? Over toward the wall.
Oh, yeah. Land Goshen. He did come after all. Oh, Lord, grant him strength to do what he set his heart to. Grant him strength to speak the truth.
All right, I'll call the first witness now. Constable Jim Tookie, will you please take the stand? Constable? Oh, all right, Constable. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help your guide?
I do.
All right, your name is Jim Tookie. You're the duly elected law enforcement officer of the township of Rushville Center. Constable, suppose you tell us now your version of the death of one Bradley Gorman.
Well, about 11:30, I'd say, offhand, I got a call from Julius Elkins. He's a substitute clerk over at the Rushville Center house. He said a man had fallen out of one of the windows in the hotel and looked like he was dead. So I come right on over, and there was a body out in the alley.
Which alley was that, Constable? On the Main Street side, there are two alleys.
That's right, off Main Street. Well, the man was dead, all right. It was pretty plain he'd fallen out of a window. There was broken glass littered around, and the window up on the third floor was broke. Didn't have to be much of a detective to figure where the feller had come from. Well, I went on into the hotel. No, I searched his pockets first, looking for some identification. Wasn't a blessed thing, except a roll of bills, something like $370, and the stub of a railroad ticket from Pittsburgh. Then I went on inside the hotel to go on upstairs when Mr. Sinclair turned up in the lobby. said that he'd come down to report the accident. Well, now, I thought it was kind of funny and...
Just the facts, please, Constable.
I just wanted to explain why I noted the time. Actually.
All right, but no speeches, please, Constable.
I ain't interested in speeches, Coroner. I'd say 7 or 8 minutes at least.
You mean 7 or 8 minutes before Mr. Sinclair came downstairs?
That's right. They had to call me from the hotel to ask me to come over. I didn't take no time to get from home, of course. And then there was a few minutes asking questions and examining the body. Oh, a good 8 minutes.
Now, what did Mr. Sinclair say to you?
Well, he said that he'd been trying to raise the desk clerk on the telephone to report the accident, but there'd been no answer. You see, Julius, the clerk, had been down in the basement tending the furnace. So that part of the story checks all right. Mr. Sinclair said that he'd been with Miss Morrison. This fella came in and tried to hold him up. There'd been a tussle, and he tripped and fell back out the window.
Did Mr. Sinclair know the fellow?
Nope. Said he didn't know him from Adam. He just come in to hold him up. Of course, he changed that whole story later when I managed to identify the dead man.
Well, now, let's not get ahead of ourselves here. After that, you went on upstairs, is that right?
Yep, up to Miss Morrison's room.
Did you see any signs of a struggle?
Well, yes, Coroner, I did. Chair overturned and a small table. I asked Mr. Sinclair why he hadn't come downstairs right away.
Now, wait a minute, Constable. I'll hear that directly from Mr. Sinclair. Miss Morrison told you the same story, is that right? She'd never seen the man before?
Yep, said she didn't know him from Adam either. She changed her tune later on, of course.
All right, Constable, we'll come to that. Go on, please. Now, just the fact.
Now, you went upstairs. You walked up
in
here.
Alfred, have you ever had anyone slip a noose around your neck?
No, have you?
I'm scared, Alfred. What? They're going to make mincemeat of us. You know that, don't you? Oh, darling, how long do you think this will go on?
Hours, probably.
I'm scared, Alfred. Honestly, I am.
And for heaven's sakes, relax. Control yourself, please, darling. Everything's going to be fine.
All right, Constable, I think that's all the questions I want to ask you now. Dr. Tom Stevens, will you take the stand, please? Dr. Stevens? Clerk, I want to show this telegram as part of the testimony. Mark it, Exhibit A, addressed to Constable James Tookie from the Department of Criminal Investigation, State of Pennsylvania, etc., identifying the deceased as Bradley Gorman. Dr. Stevens, if you'll raise your right hand, please. You swear the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing...
Dr. Tom Stevens, will you take the stand? And seated at the very back of the large room over towards the side wall, Joseph finds himself clenching his fists, feels them clammy and moist.
What am I afraid of? I came here to tell all I know about the accident. Why am I shaking in my boots for fear Doc Stevens will remember my voice on the phone the other night? Now, what's the matter with me? What am I shaking for? I came here to tell the truth. Why don't I get it over with? What am I afraid of?
Now, Dr. Stevens, that'll suffice for your medical report on the deceased. I'd like to ask you about that telephone call you got. Now, as I understand, you got two calls the night of the accident. One from Miss Pendleton and, what's her name, Mrs. Fitz. But by the time they got you on the phone, you'd already had a call. Is that right?
Yes, that's right, Coroner. A man called me. As far as I can reconstruct it, he called me just about as fast as the accident occurred.
You have no idea who he was?
Nope. I've talked to a lot of people in this town, in this county. As a matter of fact, most of them at one time or another. But I didn't recognize this one at all.
Well, could you describe the voice, Doctor?
Oh, yes, roughly. I'd say a little on the youngish side. Oh, maybe middle 20s, 30.
All right, thank you, Doctor. I think that'll do nicely for the moment. Constable Tookie, I certainly make an intensive effort to try and find the man who telephoned Dr. Stevens the night of the accident. All right, next witness... Miss Gladys Pendleton, will you take the stand, please?
Miss Gladys Pendleton, will you take the stand and tell of hearing a fiendish scream in the night, some shots, and a man's body flying through space from the hotel? Mr. Julius Elkins, will you take the stand next, please? You were the clerk on duty the night of the accident. Minutes, 5 minutes, 10, 20, a half hour, and then...
Mr. Alfred Sinclair, will you take the stand, please? Mr. Sinclair, you're a writer. Where do you live, please?
I live in New York City.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mr. Sinclair, I'd like your version of just exactly what happened the night the deceased met his death.
Oh, what do you mean by that, sir? My version. I have no version. I can tell you what happened.
If you're referring to the fact that I already changed my story on one occasion, I'll be happy to explain that.
I'd just like the facts, Mr. Sinclair, of what happened.
Well, very well. I was working with Miss Morrison in her suite. There was a knock at the door. I went to answer it. It was a man. I'd never seen him before. He forced his way into the room. Miss Morrison exclaimed, and from her exclamation, I assumed this must be her husband.
You knew about him?
Yes, yes. I have been associated with Miss Morrison for some years. Naturally, she's told me of her husband.
Mm-hmm. Very well. Go on.
He was obviously demented and in a state of great agitation. He announced that he had come to kill her.
To kill her?
Yes, that's right. To kill her. I waited for a chance to overpower him, to disarm him. And at one point, I started for him. He stepped back, tripped, and fell out the window.
And you knew who he was all the time?
Yes.
Mr. Sinclair, now I'd like to hear from you just why you chose to tell Constable Tookie at first that you didn't know the man from Adam.
You're right. It's White. It's that new Oxidol White.
Get a package now before another wash day goes by. Now see your clothes wash whiter than ever before with sensational new White Oxidol, the greatest Oxidol Procter & Gamble ever offered. The whiter, whiter soap for a whiter, whiter wash. Yes, new White Oxidol is whiter, a far whiter wash day soap. But the amazing thing is how white it washes your clothes. Now, Oxidol has always been famous for getting clothes white. But now, new White Oxidol gets your wash whiter than ever before.
You're right. It's white. It's that new Oxidol White.
You're right. It's white. Now, even when you dry your clothes inside, you get the whitest Oxidol wash in history. The cleanest wash it's possible to get from any soap in the world. What's more, your nice washable colors come out brighter, too. New White Oxidol is truly safe. Next wash day, be right. Get clothes white with new White Oxidol. Your dealer has it now. New White Oxidol, the whiter, whiter soap for a whiter, whiter wash. Well, tomorrow Alfred Sinclair continues with his testimony, but finds the coroner waiting to refute him with a surprise witness. But now this is Charlie Warren inviting you to listen again tomorrow to Oxidol's own Ma Perkins. Same time, same station.
You're right. It's white. It's that new Oxidol White.
Yes, new Oxidol is white, and it washes clothes whiter than ever before. The cleanest wash you can get from any soap in the world.